I invite you to stand for the reading for the reverence of God's holy word. The 23rd division of Psalms, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's bow our heads once again and ask the Lord's blessing upon his service. Our Father which art in heaven, God, we come to you again, Lord, just thanking you. Praise you, God, for your holy word. Lord, I pray, God, as we open your word now, speak to our hearts. God, help us, Father, Lord, just to be able to get closer to you, Father God. Lord, just help us to be those Christians we need to be, God. Lord, help us to be those Christians that this world needs us to be, Lord. There's a lot of people lost, dying and going to hell. And Lord, I pray you just help us to be able to reach out to those, Father, Lord, that need you. And God, we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Move in the midst of this service tonight. God, help us. Lord, we pray, for it's in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just got to thinking today, and as we were lazily sitting or messing around the house, we watched TV and just kind of just hung out since it was raining this morning. Didn't really do much, but I just had this service on my heart and on my mind all day. And as I began to study and kind of knew how the Lord was directing us to preach tonight, but I just got to thinking, you know, there in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 8, the Bible says this: "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about the divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Just got to thinking about how our God is the same God. And he's the same God today. He's the same God today as he was thousands of years ago. But I'm afraid in today's time, when we read through the Old Testament and look at the biblical characters, those that were in the Old Testament, and we see the miracles that God done for them, you know, I believe it in today's time, we don't think like God is going to do the same thing for us. But the thing that we don't understand is it is the same God then as it is now. Amen. It may be in different times, different situations, but God has never changed. God is the same. And he can do the same things for us as were done for them, those in the past. Think about Moses, and you think about the helper that he had, Aaron, and the message about them holding and her holding up Moses' arms. We've got people today that's willing to pray with us or willing to go the extra mile with us. And God can do the same miracles today as he did then. Amen. God is not changed. Amen. God is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. God wants to do for you what he done for them in the past. Amen. But I begin to think about, you know, as we get older, one of these days we're going to leave this earth, amen. One of these days we're going to leave this old earth, leave this old body. You know, this is not our home forever as Christians, amen. But I thought about, you know, what legacy are we going to live, amen. You know, I can only imagine those that Moses and Aaron, Abraham, all those great people back then, what kind of legacy did they leave, amen? What, as those people thought in that day, the legacy that they were living, amen? We know the legacy that they left because we've got the Word of God. But I tell you what, as we look through the Old Testament, the greatest legacy a person can leave here on this earth is a surrender, a total surrender to God, amen. It is very important that we give ourselves wholeheartedly and abundantly to God and let God use us for his goodness and his glory. But as we pray, we need to understand that God is the same God today as he was 2, 3, 4,000 years ago, amen. Don't hold out on God, because God is not going, if you hold out on God, God's going to hold out on you. Amen. We cannot hold out on God. We've got to fully surrender to God. But I just thought about every prayer we pray, every gift we give, every sacrifice we make, and every step of faith we take is an inheritance left here for the next generation to see. Amen. There's all kinds of people in this world that are watching us every day. And I know this firsthand, because I feel that all those unsaved people that I work with, it just seems like that they want you to fail. It seems like they don't care what Christian fails as long as somebody fails. It's a crying shame that somebody won't lend a helping hand. They'd rather see you fail than try to help you. Amen. But see, that's, as a Christian, we shouldn't think like that. Our thought should be that we're going to leave the greatest legacy that we can, and that's living as close to God as we can. He's the same God, amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I don't think this world's going to be here much longer, but however long it is, amen, God's not going to change, amen. And when we pray, we need to remember God is the same God. That's number 36. Lisa told me I better be careful if I want to title these things, the same God, amen. Number 36, the same God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. He is the same God. Amen. Matthew 18, I know we've been in Matthew quite a bit through this week, but in Matthew 18, in verse 18, the Bible says this: Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I want to title this a prayer contract, amen. Listen, looking at this verse here, we're going to use this as a prayer contract. The word bind that's used here, it says, Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth. The word bind has a legal meaning. It means to place a contract on something, amen. We need to give God authority of ourselves. He needs to be the one that makes the decisions in our life. Not us making the decisions, amen. If you ever get the opportunity to read the book, In His Steps, amen. I never thought about those bracelets that always, that people wore bumper stickers about, now I've lost my train of thought, amen. How unusual is that? What would Jesus do? WWJD. But that is a true story. And the book is wrote, it's called In His Steps. It's a wonderful book. What would Jesus do, how it came to be, and how we have all the clothes and the bracelets and the things. But that's exactly what we need to do. As that book unfolds, you'll find out that people began back then during the Depression, begin to ask themselves, what would Jesus do in the situations that arose in their life? People, when you do that, you're giving God authority in your life. And when we pray, we're going into contract with God, amen. And again, the purpose of prayer is not to get what we want, amen. The purpose of prayer is to discern what God wants and what God wills in our life, amen. We need to give God the authority in our life. We need to have a prayer contract. And if you pray in the will of God, then it is backed by the full authority of the King and of His kingdom, amen. If you pray in the will of God, then it is backed by the full authority of the King and His kingdom, amen. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says this: Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, and it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So many times this week we've talked about entering the promised land. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day will be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. At verse 8 again, it says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Amen. People in this world need to see Jesus Christ in us. Amen. That contract, that binding of that contract, people need to see us, see Jesus Christ in us wherever we go, whatever we're doing. Amen. People need to see who we represent. Amen. It's not us that's representing. It's not our legacy we're leaving. It's Jesus Christ's legacy that's at stake. Amen. Not ours. Amen. This has nothing to do with us when we give God the full authority of our lives. Amen. When you pray, you enter into a contract with God. And that binding should be as a sign upon thine hand for everyone in this world to see. And it should be the frontlets of thy eyes, amen. The Word of God, when we're thinking of the Word of God, when we're digging into the Word of God, and when that Word of God comes out in our life, as the Bible says here in verse 7, it says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, amen. We should know that when we're representing Jesus Christ, amen, it's all about it's all in our lives, amen. He is supposed to be our heart, the center of our life, amen. And when we are in His presence, amen, it's going to come out in our life. And when it comes out in our life, our children are going to be exposed to it. The children of church are going to be exposed to it. The people in our home are going to be exposed to it. The people we work with are going to be exposed to it, amen. And I tell you what, we need to leave that legacy, but not only the legacy, we need to have we need to have that prayer contract with God, going into God's presence and praying with Him. That was number 37. Amen. Number 38, we're almost done. Three more to go, amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Brother Ronnie's going to get to the house, amen. Number 38, 1 Kings chapter number 18. Verse number 42, the Bible says this. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth. What do you think he was doing? You think he was digging a foxhole? No, he cast him down upon the earth to pray. And he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Amen. I like that, seven. Seven times. And he came to pass at the seventh time. He said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Amen. Not to read a lot of scripture here, but they had been praying for rain. Amen. It had not rained in a long time. Amen. And they were praying for rain. And so Elijah sent his servant up to look for rain. And he went seven times, and finally the servant said he's seen that cloud in the sea. But I want you to notice here, it says, he said, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Can you imagine as Elijah, as his servant told him, as he came back that seventh time and he told him, he said, Lord, he said, there's a little cloud in the sea and it looks like a man's hand. As Elijah was up there on that mountain, the same mountain. Now, this is the point I'm going to get to here in just a minute. The same mountain that had just prior to this, that 450 prophets of Baal had been defeated. Amen. Elijah had went back to the same mountain. He went back to that same place. He went back to that place that was familiar to him and prayed for the rain. Amen. Number 38, we're gonna call this the prayer place or your prayer closet. Amen. As that servant told him, Elijah, he said, that cloud is brewing in the sea. He said, and that cloud looks like a man's hand. I couldn't imagine what was going through Elijah's mind. I bet he just started shouting and saying, praise God, praise ye the Lord. It looked like it wasn't a normal man's hand, amen. It wasn't an earthly man's hand. It was God's hand, amen, that was brewing that cloud up, amen. He was causing that cloud to brew, amen. And listen what he says here. He says, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. Amen. The rain had, I want to show you something. I want to show you a miracle of God right here. And a man that trusted God, amen. He didn't see the rain. The rain hadn't got there yet. But he trusted God through that prayer, amen. Because he was in that place where God had already answered prayers before, amen. When we get into a prayer closet where we've seen God answer prayers, amen. No matter how long it took, no matter how hard we had to pray, or we had to pray as long as it took, amen. As long as it take kind of prayers. Had to pray hard and to pray long. Elijah had already been in that place praying, amen. For God to defeat those prophets of Baal. He had went back and he had had faith in God. He had trusted God and he knew that rain was coming. He told his servant to go tell Ahab to get the chariot ready because the rain stopped thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, and the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab into the entrance of Jezreel. And I want us to see that he went back to that familiar place, amen. When you've got that familiar place that you go to pray, that prayer closet, wherever it may be, amen. Mine, I like the well house, amen, because I know there's not going to be anybody that bothers me in that well house, amen. We've got a little cocker spaniel, and he'll go down and he'll sit in the front door of that well house. I'm not gonna lie. I don't like spiders. Amen. I don't like snakes. Amen. Snake is probably the least favorite thing of mine ever. Amen. When it was in the Garden of Eden, I didn't like it, and I don't like it here in 2014. Amen. And I'm a little scared of the dark sometimes. Amen. Not to be honest, I'm afraid Devin and Tanner's gonna scare me. Amen. I just wanted to see what would happen one day. I'm not really that afraid of the dark. Amen. I just wanted to see what happened one day. And I let the little dog in the well house. I said, amen. I said, you sit outside and listen to me pray. Won't you just come in and listen to me pray? Amen. And I let that dog in. And once I knelt down on my hand, that dog's all over you. I mean, it cannot help but to just, he just wants to lick you to death. Amen. I mean, it don't matter. It don't matter where you at or where you been. He just wants to. He's a loving dog. Wants that much attention. And the first time I ever let him, or the only time I ever let him in that well house, when I started praying, he knelt down right there, right beside me. Have you ever noticed in the Word of God it says that the seas and the winds obey him? Amen. The animals obey him. The weather obeys him. Everything in this world obeys God except us. Amen. I tell you what, if we take it more seriously, if we take prayer more seriously and go to that prayer closet of ours, that place of prayer, God will be able to use us. And God wants to use us. He wants to use us to his goodness and his glory. Amen. But I tell you what, when we go back to the place that reminds us of God's faithfulness, it also renews our faith, amen. It also renews our faith, knowing that God's going to answer something. But I want you to look here. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what place you call your closet. Jesus Christ, he prayed on the mountains, by the water, and in the garden. We too need that place. We need that place to go. But I tell you what, when you choose that place where you can't be distracted, amen. Choose that place where you get good reception. Now, I'm not talking about your cell phone, amen. I'm talking about that reception between you and God, amen. We need to have that place that we can go and pray. And Elijah had that place. And look at the miracle that was done in the Word of God. The rain came. Elijah trusted him. Elijah trusted God. Went back to that place. We too need to return back to that place when we need God's favor, need God's help. Need to see God's miracle. Amen. Exodus chapter number 3. Number 39. Exodus chapter number 3, verse 1, the Bible says this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, where even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great thing, while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Number 39, I want you to title it this, Holy Ground. There are two moments or two mentions in the Word of God where God says, Take off thy sandals. Take off thy sandals. One was with Moses here in Exodus chapter number 3, and the other one was with Joshua. But I want us to look here and to try to understand why God may have made this command. One, I believe it was a way of acknowledging total dependence on God. He told Moses to take off his sandals. Number two, I believe it was a way of removing any obstacle that could get in the way of God and Moses or get in the way of God and Joshua. Amen. But I want us to look and I want us to take this from the Word of God here. The holy ground there was not the promised land. Amen. The holy ground was not the promised land. The holy ground was right there where Moses was at that day. God sanctified it. God called it holy ground. Amen. Don't wait to worship God until you get to the promised land. Amen. We now are standing on holy ground. Amen. I tell you what, anything that God touches is holy. Amen. So we can't wait time. Amen. We can't waste time. We can't wait. Amen. We've got to take the opportunity and stand on holy ground today. Amen. We cannot waste time. This is holy ground. God's gave us a holy ground to stand on to worship Him. Amen. This is the holy moment that we've got, that God's gave us to worship Him. Amen. We can't waste time. There's too many people dying and going to hell just in this community alone. Amen. Just in this county alone. Amen. Just in this state alone. Amen. We are standing on holy ground. Amen. I don't care if you decide really to take your shoes off to pray. Amen. If that's going to get you closer to God. Amen. As long as you're praying. Amen. And asking God and interceding for those that you love, for those that are lost, or those that are in your life. Amen. We need to take the holy moment because the holy moment's right here, right now. We need to take this opportunity and pray without ceasing. Pray long and pray hard. Amen. And pray as long as it takes. And remember, when we pray like it depends on God, but work like it depends on you. Amen. We're on holy ground, and God's give us holy time. We don't know how long that holy time's going to last. Amen. But we got to take the opportunity and pray and seek God's face. Amen. And I know I didn't say much at the beginning of the service about why we had this meeting. I mentioned it about every night this week. Amen. But there in Luke chapter number 11, it says, And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Number 40, last but not least, titled, Teach Me to Pray. Teach me to pray. And I can't help but as I return back to this scripture here in the Word of God, I cannot help but to think about what the disciples didn't ask for. What the disciples didn't ask for. You know, the disciples were great soul winners. They were great servants of God, but they didn't ask to be preachers. They didn't ask for God to teach them to be soul winners. They didn't ask God to teach them to be teachers or teach them to be pastors or teach them to be deacons. They just simply said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And I can't help but to think this. If we change or if we let God change the way we pray, everything's going to change. Everything in our life is going to change. Found out Miss Teresa Dotson, so many people have been praying for her. So many people had been interceding on her behalf, praying that God would have his will and his way in his heart. She is no longer with cancer. Amen. A woman that they gave no chance to. She was, She had cancer, and it was a stage 4 cancer. And all of a sudden, her body's healed and no more cancer. I don't understand, and I don't pretend to understand why God heals some and others pass on. I don't understand that. I don't know where the human will of God and the sovereignty of God meet. Amen. I don't understand that. But I do understand that God knows all. Amen. He knows everything about you, everything about me, and everything that's in our future. Amen. And I tell you what, he's the one we need to trust. Amen. Because if it was up to you and up to me, then we wouldn't know how to pray very much. Amen. First thing we need to do when we seek God's guidance in something is ask him to teach us. Amen. We need to ask him to teach us to pray, because prayer changes everything. And I tell you what, if you begin to dig into the Word of God and begin to get on your knees and ask God to help you to pray, it's going to change the way we love. It's going to change the way we lead. It's going to change the way we work, to change the way we are parents, change our marriage. It's going to change every aspect of our life. Amen. It's going to change the way we prioritize our lives. Amen. It's going to change the way we think. It's going to change the way we speak. It's going to change the way we feel. Amen. Prayer changes everything, not from the outside in. Amen. It changes everything from the inside out. Amen. And I thank God for that. The word prayer, often, so many times we start praying, and the reason we pray like this is because it's true. But we pray in guilt. We pray in guilt because we can't do enough. No, we can't do enough or hadn't done enough. And so many times we start out our prayers in guilt. I'm talking about after we've got the sin prayers, after we've prayed for God to forgive our sins. And it's so many times we end with guilty prayers. But it's simply because we really don't do enough, amen. But instead of that, we need to put ourselves out of the way, amen. When we ask God to forgive us, it's done, it's over with. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we pray, we need to ask God. And instead of that thought of that guilty prayer, it should excite us that we get down on our hands and knees and pray. It should excite us when we bow our heads in prayer, amen. Because there's nothing more powerful than getting on your knees. There's nothing more powerful than bowing your heads before an almighty God, amen. There's nothing more powerful in this world than being in the presence of God. I mean, almost like you've walked into the throne room of glory, amen. There's nothing more powerful. So we need to stop beating ourselves up about being guilty, about not being able to do enough, amen, and just start doing more, amen. We just simply need to start doing more. But we simply need to ask, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. You know, it's not how much we know is wisdom, but wisdom is knowing how much we don't know. Knowing how much we don't know. Wisdom is knowing God and allowing him to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I know we've ran through this week. I mean, I was talking to Brother Craig Shue today, and he was asking me how church was going and wanted to know about revival and how it was going. And he just got so excited, began to tell me about people that had been placed in his path to be able to witness to. And I thank God for those opportunities that God gives us. But he mentioned about a preacher that had his father. His father was not saved. He was very far away from the Lord. Amen. But God showed him. One day, walked through the back door, was his father. Amen. And he came down and fell in an old-fashioned altar and gave his heart to God. And he stood up before the church and he said, I want you to know this. He said, I've lived my whole life as a sinner, away from God. He said, but now I'm a child of God, saved, going to heaven. And he said, it took cancer in my life to do that. I tell you what, I couldn't help but to think, you know, maybe if God would just help us to live closer to him, we could be a better witness for those that are around us. Amen. And I know we've run through this pretty fast this week on God teaching us to pray. But I tell you what, as we start the new week off tomorrow, and as we begin Monday morning, I'm going to challenge you to join me in 40 days, just as Jesus Christ was 40 days in the wilderness. And I'll mention this again in the morning. But as Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, as he fasted and prayed, for God to have his will and his way in his life. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. He agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane for us. It just shows so many times in the Word of God how Jesus prayed. And I can't help but to think I want to be like one of those disciples, amen, that spoke and said, Lord, teach me to pray. But I challenge you as we begin the new week this week. I know it's been a long week, amen. My wife, as we was coming up the road here, as we started up the hill, she turned her turn signal on. I said, honey, where are you going, the daycare? I mean, she's a half a mile from turning into church, amen. She said, well, I would like to take a nap, amen. I know we've been tired this week, and I commend each and every one of you for hanging in there, amen, and being here this week. I just thank God for it, amen. But as we begin the new week, I challenge you to take the same challenge that Jesus Christ was faced with. As we preach 40 different things that's going to help us and help God to teach us to pray, I'm going to challenge you to 40 days of prayer, amen, in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if we look at that, and if we pray at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening, amen, we're going to come together twice a day, and we're going to make a circle just like those children that circled around Jericho, just like the Israelites circled around Jericho seven times, amen. Like I said in that, and when I preached on that, they could have stormed the city, amen, but they didn't. They were obedient to God, and they circled that seven times, amen. And God knocked the walls down. I mean, the walls kept crumbling down, amen. And they took the city. They didn't have to take it by force, amen. They let God fight for them. But I challenge you for 40 days, starting Monday, twice a day, gather with me in prayer and pray for our church. This is a new beginning for you, and it's a new beginning for me, amen. This may be your church, but it's still a new beginning for both of us. And I believe God's going to use this to show us how we can be a soul-winning station here at Mount Calvary, a soul-winning station in our homes individually, and soul-winning stations as we go out into the workplace, go out into the world, and to do God's work, amen. But I challenge you for 40 days, pray with me. Pray with me each and every day and see how God touches your heart and blesses your heart and blesses your home and how you get closer to Him. Amen. I just thank God for the opportunity to pray. I was, Tanner and I was eating one time and it just hit me out of the blue. We had prayed and ate and I said, Tanner, I said, why don't we pray after we eat? We pray before we eat and thank God for the food. But why don't we pray after we eat and thank God for what He allowed us to eat? Amen. Oh, I just thought about that, but we need to pray. We need to pray long and pray hard. I need your prayers, amen. If you need a pastor and want a pastor to be a pastor, you need to pray for me, amen. And if I want a congregation to have a congregation to be a congregation, I'm going to have to pray for you, amen. So we need to make intercession for each other. And I challenge you and myself, amen. This is not something that I've already done, amen. This is something that I want to do with you. And I want us all to pray together for 40 days. Amen. Amen. Anything on anybody's heart this morning, this evening?